Hi, welcome to the Barry Nation podcast, where we support the bariatric community with humor, humility, and honesty. I'm April.
I'm Jason.
I'm Natalie.
And welcome to the first podcast of April 2022, if that is when you are listening. We are diving into a new month of support, and our theme in April is April showers. How do we overcome setbacks and obstacles to reach our bariatric goals? Super important topic. This is basically, I think, the number one thing that we deal with as patients, right? It's like life is going on dandy and then something happens. It throws us off our game. Before surgery, we might've chosen some different options. After surgery, maybe we really want to make a different decision or move through that setback or obstacle in a different way, but it can be hard because we don't know how. So today, the three of us are going to talk about how we have done that. Maybe. We should start though. We are just thinking we have so many new friends and followers. Let's take a quick minute and just reintroduce ourselves or introduce ourselves to our community if they don't know.
Have you ever wished you had a dedicated bariatric buddy to help guide you along your weight loss journey? Well, guess what? You can find that person. Patient Partner connects pre-op bariatric patients to vetted post-op bariatric patients who help and encourage each other along the way. Patient Partner helps you feel more empowered, prepared, and supported through your surgery by connecting you to a community of recovered patients so you can move forward with confidence. Click the link in our Instagram bio to learn how you can take advantage of this free service and follow Patient Partner at patient_partner.
My name is Jason. I had VSG on March 11th of 2020. I had hit my highest weight of 468 pounds. That's the highest recorded weight. I'm pretty sure I got higher than that, but I wasn't checking for it. So 468 is what I had recorded. Just realized that I drastically needed a change in my life. My primary care physician at a recent appointment had told me that I was basically actively dying at the age of 44 years old. So I knew that there had to be some changes made because I am a father and a grandfather. And I knew that if I wanted to continue to be in the lives of my children and grandchildren, that I needed to do something different than what I had been trying to do. All the diets, the fad diets and things weren't working for me. So I made the choice to have the surgery and never looked back. And I cut to 2 years, a little over 2 years later. Now I'm 191 pounds down, maintaining my life, my weight as it is. Just much more active, much more able to get out and do things. The quality of life has changed tremendously. One of the best things I could have done for my recovery was meeting April and Natalie, because they have helped push me to hold myself accountable in many, many ways to, you know, stay on track and do the things that I needed to do to be able to be a successful patient. So we realized there was a void in the community for the kind of support that we needed post-op. So we decided to create what we knew wasn't there.
Preach, my friend, preach.
I'm Natalie. I had VSG. I had a revision to VSG in September of 2020. I've had two previous surgeries prior to that, over a decade ago. First one was the lap band in 2009. Very successful, lost a ton of weight, but unfortunately developed some medical issues where I had to get that band removed. Shortly after that, I had a revision to the bariatric plication surgery, which is, I call it like a pseudo sleeve. It's they accordion up your stomach and they sew it. So it looks like a sleeve, but it is reversible. Unfortunately, that also did not go well. Somehow between the time I had my surgery and when I got my revision to VSG, my sutures came undone. So I had gained all of my weight back, battled with cyclical dieting, eating disorders, all of that. When I was about 26 or so, I decided to just start loving myself no matter what. I had a high weight of 403 pounds. decided to go on that self-love, self-acceptance journey, which I think was very integral in my recovery from eating disorders and obesity. Made the decision to have surgery again after my grandma passed away. She was like a mother to me. And I wanted to have, you know, the life that my grandma had. I wanted to travel. I wanted to touch people's lives. I wanted to kind of be superwoman like she was. So I decided to take my life back, had my surgery in September 2020, officially down 145 pounds, still working towards my goal a little over a year and a half later. But again, like Jason said, I found April and Jason shortly after my surgery in 2020. We just hit it off, and I knew that I needed to have them in my lives or my life. And yeah, it's kind of been history from there. We've just grown this community, and I'm just really proud to be a part of it.
It's been amazing what we have been able to kind of create for each other. And this was just like, you know, simple connections that we ended up making on Instagram that blossomed into like the most amazing friendships and support network. Really. I mean, I know people are always nervous to like message people on Instagram, but really good things can happen when you do so. And it's not that everybody's going to become your best friend in the world, but
it happens though. I mean, April, they had me on the podcast and April called me with show notes the night before. And we talked for over 3 hours, just like would not shut up. And then we finally realized, oh my God, we need to save this for the podcast. Like, you know, we just kept talking and talking and talking. And that's when you know that, you know, you can pour out your life story to someone and they just sit there with empathetic ears and can understand and feel for you, but also encourage you. So I know that's kind of mine and April and Jason's goal of this podcast, Berry Nation, all of that good stuff. So that's really where it all started.
Yep. It truly is. Yep. And I mean, I started hosting those VBMs, kind of, you know, it was, well, I had surgery in July of 2019, and then it was the fall of that because COVID happened and kind of the world shut down and I couldn't access any of the supports that were offered by my clinic. And I don't even know really what ones were. I think they had like a support group or two. Anyways, I was just desperate for connection within the community because I was just struggling. And I started hosting those virtual bariatric meetups because I understood Zoom. I'm an online teacher, right? So it's like, oh, I can do this. And then that was where I met Jason. He kept trying to come into the room. And remember, I thought he was a Russian bot. It's like, no, you cannot come in. No, you cannot come in. No man has ever had bariatric surgery. And then I let him in and I was like, are you lost, bro? No, I'm just here for support. Oh my God.
Like I'm 2 weeks post-op trying to figure out what the hell to do, man. I don't know. Like, I had no idea. Like that's the kind of the beauty of doing this about April showers. Cause it's not if it's going to rain, it's when it's going to rain and how much.
Right. Oh my God, there is no stopping the rain, just like there is no stopping the tide. There is nothing that we can do to avoid it. And we can't live inside for the rest of our lives, right? Like COVID has taught us that as well. So we have to learn how we not only, you know, continue to work in the rain, acknowledge that it's gonna rain, and then really build those tools that we need for those April showers. And I keep thinking about it, Jason, I don't know where, I think you and I were just talking, but we were like, it's so funny that we leave our surgical centers and they give us like this toolbox, right? This binder. And it's like this little tiny, like kid toolbox that you get that, you know, they're like, oh, here's my toolbox, guys. I got it. And all of a sudden you're like, oh my God, you get hit with the fact that like, oh, this is not good. And you have to roll out one of those like snap-on toolbox. You know, that's 6 feet tall and 50 drawers. Oh, this is the toolbox I need. Oh,
right. Yeah. You need many more drawers than just the one handle little toolbox you can carry with your hand. Like that's cute. Like,
right. I think about like a little lunchbox, like the first grader that's like yes. going to school with their like huge lunchbox and they're just like, all right, I'm ready. And then you're like, oh, this is school. Like, I don't want to be here, you know? So we have to kind of like, we have to like grow into our toolbox or our lunchbox because, you know, like the first graders, their lunchboxes are just like half their body. Like, mm-hmm. That's what I'm thinking of. It's super awkward. Like, yeah. So toolbox, lunchbox, umbrella.
Right. All metaphors. It's all metaphors for you got to carry that. You got to carry those tools with you at all times so that you can deploy them when you need them. Right. So this month in Berry Nation, you're going to see some very cool graphics to kind of help us understand what April showers is all about. Right. So today's conversation and really, you know, this month's support topic is all about, like, again, acknowledging you're not going to stop the rain. We have to just face it, and we have to prepare ourselves to go out in the rain and either work or play, right? That we can't be scared of it. So we're going to be really talking and referencing a lot this bariatric umbrella concept, right? We especially Nat and I know if you live here in Washington, it rains all the time at random times. And in fact, our weather report is basically like, it could rain, it could be sunny today, who knows? Pack your umbrella or your jacket or your rain boots or whatever, right? Like you acknowledge that the weather is going to happen. So today, what we really want to talk about is what is in or what is under our berry umbrellas. So when we acknowledge and when we face these setbacks or these obstacles, right, where we always have our umbrella with us. And when we deploy that umbrella, what are the supports that are underneath it? Because right, as if you live in the Northwest, you kind of know some days it drizzles and maybe you don't need an umbrella, you need a rain jacket. Other days it's like downpour and yeah, I'm going to need a rain jacket and an umbrella. Some days I'm going to need a golf umbrella. Other days it's that little travel one that can fit in my purse, right? There's so many different kinds of umbrellas that we can deploy based on the situation, right? So kind of doing some forward thinking and just anticipating what types of showers are going to come our way in life and throughout our bariatric journey. And then thinking about what tools are we going to deploy when we need to overcome those setbacks or obstacles. So that's kind of the meat of the conversation today. And if you guys are ready, I say, let's just dive in.
Let's do it.
All right, let's do it, my friends. So let's take a step back and let's think about our lives before surgery. When something came, when those rains started falling, when the obstacles presented themselves, or when we experienced a setback, how did we handle it before surgery?
Burgers, all the burgers, yeah. All the burgers, fries, pizza, ice cream, you name it, whatever made me feel better at the time. That's how we got down.
Mm-hmm. Right. Same thing now.
Yeah, everything. I mean, if you know Maddie 5088 on Instagram, she talked about fast food diaries, where she'd go to all the different fast food restaurants, and you play it off like you're ordering for someone else or something like that. That was me. It was like, oh, I'll go do all the errands for the house, but like, I'm going to stop at all the little fast food restaurants that I can. So for me, yeah, it was fast food. It was any kind of food.
Mm-hmm. Well, because if you think about it, during whatever the rainstorm is, that's the only thing you can control and you know will always be there. You know, it's not going to talk back. It's not going to give you shit. You're not going to have to deal with any problems. You don't have to deal with judgment out of there. You just go get your food. You sit in your car alone and it's just you and the food. And you hang out until it's gone. Mm-hmm. And really, it's not till you have to process the feelings afterwards that the letdown comes. But you know, those lights are always open. There's always somebody in the window to hand you what you ordered. So I mean, that's kind of the control and the chaos, so to speak.
Yeah. And I can remember too, just the answer for everything was like, oh God, I'm just so tired, or I'm just so exhausted, I'm just so fill in the blank. You know, let's just order pizza, or let's get teriyaki, or let's like, right? It was just the go-to. It was so easy and effortless. And what I also really kind of realized now after surgery is that when I was eating, I could zone out. I didn't think about anything, right? It was the moment in my life where I could rebel, right? I wanted to control everything else. And when I lost control of anything outside of that, it was just like, oh my God, okay, just I need this release. But it allowed me to really push down or just like vaporize those feelings. They didn't go away, but it certainly allowed me to just kind of like move on from them. So I never actually dealt with what I was going through. It was this pause. And then it was like, okay, well now I'm just moving on. I'm not acknowledging, I'm not working through, I'm not doing any of that. I'm just going to carry on, which only builds and leads to worse things really ahead. Right.
Cause you only digest the food. You don't digest the problems or the feelings that come with said problems.
Yeah. it was a way for us to like numb out, or my therapist told me it was a way for me to disassociate from life. Like, I never thought that I had like an issue with disassociation. I thought, oh, I'm so present all the time. But really I was living in a constant state of disassociation. I was just kind of floating through my life. And food helped me do that. Like you said, April, like I could just sit down and or sit in my car, eat, and I don't know what's going on. I don't know where I am. All I know is that I'm eating.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Oh yeah. Yes.
Well, disassociation is an amazing way to put it, because if you think about it, the only time you're actually present at your highest weight and really click in is when you're trying on clothes to go somewhere, when you're out with people and you realize you don't fit in, when you're trying to sit in a seat and you know that you don't fit, you're trying to get on an airplane and you can't buckle the belt. Like those are all, there's times and instances where we will click in to be present. But the rest of the time, we're oblivious to all the things. Like, I don't see that mirror. I don't see this. I don't see that ID picture. I know this is me, but I'm not looking at me like that. Like, you just kind of go through with these blinders on and don't really, you kind of make it to where you don't have to be present until you're actually faced with something that you know you can't just put a blinder on to.
Yes. Oh, man. It's. You know, I was reflecting on this the other day too. I realized I was looking at an old picture of myself, and it was insane to really think back to how much energy and effort I put in, you know, kind of living in fear as an obese person. It's always in the back of your mind. You're always thinking about something related to your weight or your size or your shape. And it's just this constant like fight or flight, you know, stance that I remember living in. And when I was eating, I didn't have those feelings. I could just be numb to them. And oh my God, right? Not the way that I ever want to live again. And it's not just as much work living my life after bariatric surgery. It's that it's a different kind of work. I'm still putting in the effort. I'm still doing all of the things, but instead of constantly feeling like I have to fight for something when I was heavy before surgery, now I'm fighting to understand it, right? I'm still doing that work, but it's not fearful work, right? It's work that's driven by like desire to understand, or the desire to grow, or the desire just to be present without the fear. So it's still work. It just looks and feels different. It's in those different areas. So when we think about our lives after surgery, right, bad things have still happened to us. Like life has not stopped. We still have setbacks. We still have obstacles that we need to overcome. And I might even argue that I think I feel like I have more obstacles now to overcome because I am more present. So I'm realizing just all of these little things that are tripping me up along the way, right? Big and small. But I definitely know that I'm dealing with them differently most of the time. It's not that there are some times where I still turn to food.
Oh yeah.
Right. I mean, it's going to be a thing for a while, right? Until I can rebuild that bridge that gets me out of comfort with food, I still have to know that I can cross that, you know, chasm of fear or whatever it is, right, with that food bridge. But I'm working on all these other bridges. So what have you guys noticed? What has been kind of the thing that you have noticed most about how you react to these setbacks or obstacles now after surgery?
I think now I can come at them with a, you know, we talk about having full capacity in our brains now. And I think I really can come at these obstacles with that full capacity brain to truly like identify or attempt to identify the problem. You know, and I've also been going to therapy regularly. So I've been given and have been working on these tools to help me identify those things. But I think now it's that I have the capacity and I want to use that capacity. It's like, that's my first go-to is like, let's figure this out. Let's figure out what this issue is instead of, I guess the fight or flight, right? Like now I fight, I'm like, okay, no, I need to figure out what's going on. versus the food. I mean, and like you said, April, I'm not perfect. You know, some days I'm like, I don't have the energy to fight this. I'm going to enjoy a food, whatever that is. But I think my first go-to now is to fight instead of that flight response.
And you know, it just clicked in my brain when you said that, Nat. You said on some days, I'm just going to enjoy the food.
Mm-hmm.
I never enjoyed the food before surgery. I would just eat so I could numb out and feel good. Like the first bite or two tasted great. And then after that, I would have no recollection of what I was eating.
Yeah.
Even that's different now, right? Even when we turn to food, we're actually, instead of it just becoming a numbing agent, it's like, okay, I just need something. I'm going to enjoy this and then I'm going to move on.
Yeah. I'm going to forget about the world for a second, but I am going to enjoy this. And I know, Jason, you talk a lot about how cooking and things has become a very meditative thing for you. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that, but I've found that as well. Like I will sit and if I'm like, man, I want pasta today, which is, if you know me, that is used to be a trigger food for me. But I will make it with like mushrooms and sausage and like all of this like good stuff instead of just the pasta. Like I'll spend an hour creating like a really good pasta dish and then I'll enjoy it. And I'll like enjoy it fully. And then I'll kind of move on. But yeah, that is, I said it without really realizing what I said, which is why I love these conversations. But yeah, what about you, Jason?
I know for me, like the difference of what you guys are saying is we used to just eat to numb out and like how you have the feelings. It's kind of a double-edged sword to have more of your brain capacity to use because yes, now the feelings feel a lot deeper than they did before because you can encompass, we put ourselves out there a lot more. So more things are coming back in that we have to decipher through. And when those rough patches hit, we feel it a lot more because we are more present in those situations. But I have found that I have a much, like Nat said, a much better, deeper toolbox to handle those things. I can by the power of deductive reasoning, I can say, okay, this happened because of this. This is why this is going on. This is not a personal attack on me. This is what this is. I can kind of put it in its own box of what it's supposed to be to kind of help me, you know, push through it all. And when in terms of eating, like what Nat was saying, there's a difference in eating to feel better. And there's a difference in making a dish and eating something that was prepared with love. So even loving yourself, you can prepare a dish. If you're eating all alone, you can still prepare that with the same amount of love as if you were cooking for 20 people that you find, you know, to be just amazing people in your life. So in doing that, I have, that's become my therapy. That's my meditation. That's my, you know, whatever you want to call it. Like we went yesterday to Costco and I bought 10 pounds of chicken thighs and I bought, you know, a bunch of steak and stuff because today is meal prep day. Like Sarah's going to go off and have girls day, like Sunday fun day. And I'm sitting here, I'm getting down on the grill. Like my grill doesn't even know what it's in for here just shortly. Like it's about to go down. So and it started yesterday. Like all my stuff, I don't cook anything that doesn't take at least 24 hours to prep before I cook it. So, you know, yesterday was marinating and seasoning the steaks and they've been in the refrigerator all night. Now they're sitting out on the counter so they get to room temperature to put on the grill. Everything is methodically laid out in steps that I can now take those methodic steps and translate to different things in my life, like problem solving, when these things come into my life that I have to, you know, use the deductive reasoning on, I can take the same methodic steps that I use to prep food and use that to my advantage on how do I deal with this problem or this issue or this whatever's going on. And it's become such a healthy thing for me, which you could never equate health and food in the same sentence pre-op for me, because it was always about the greasiest, the dirtiest, the whatever it is, the more patties, the better, the more pizza, the bigger the pie, the bigger the slice, the whatever you want to call it. All of those things, it was just about the gluttony of it for me, myself personally, mm-hmm. because it was all about the mass amount of what I could fit into myself before I, you know, before I felt better. And so being able to harness that power and use it for good in not only with how I prepare food and how I use that to kind of cleanse my soul and my palate, I use those same steps in everyday problem solving. And it's just, there is a power in mastering something that used to be so detrimental to you and making it a positive that I just love.
Yes. Well, and you know, it's why these power conversations are so powerful. All three of us have gone to each other and been like, you know, I just realized I was falling back into that old habit. I was making all these comfort foods. I was doing this, I was doing that. And what is different, I think, and what can be different for us after bariatric surgery is that for whatever reason, something in your brain goes, oh, this is different, or, oh, why am I doing this again? That is the signal. That is how you know something has changed. And it doesn't matter why you are now aware of that thought. It doesn't matter that, you know, that it doesn't matter that this is the first time that you're noticing it. That noticing is you changing. That is your indication that, oh, that thought means this is an opportunity for me to shift how I move through life. That little ding is how you know, oh, I could do some work here. This is where I could try something new. This is where I could try a new tool. This is a moment where I have an opportunity to change. Whereas before surgery, that ding never happened. It just didn't, right? Or the ding occurred and my brain never gave me the opportunity to go, oh, you could actually do something different here, right? It might've dinged and it just, and my old brain said, there's no escaping this cycle. Don't even go there. You can't get out of it. You can't get out of it. And for whatever reason now after surgery, even though I know that old brain, that old thought is still, oh, you can't get out of this, there is another option now that my brain is going, oh, actually you can.
Yeah. That's it. The batteries in my dinger were dead before I had surgery. there was no dinger.
That's a fresh battery, right? Well, but you know, and I think this is why it's so difficult to describe to people what the work of weight loss surgery is, because it's these very simple, instantaneous moments that present themselves. And it's in those moments that we have an opportunity to make a different choice, right? To do something different. And the work of weight loss surgery is choosing to do that different, you know, consciously making the effort. And it's not that whatever we try is going to work every single time, because it's not. But the work is trying it and then really kind of saying like, okay, did that work? It did. Awesome. I'm going to try to do that next time. Or trying it and go, okay, that didn't work. Mm-hmm. But that's okay, because now when that ding happens again, we're going to go, okay, well, that didn't work. Now I'm going to try this. Mm-hmm. Right. So what are the tools that we do differently now after surgery to help us overcome these setbacks or obstacles? Right. Like for me, I know one of the go-to things that I do now really is journal and just take a hot minute to verbally say, I am so angry. I am so annoyed. That was the dumbest thing that I've ever experienced. Like, to take a moment to be angry. And if I cannot overcome that anger, if I can quickly turn to a piece of paper and go, I'm feeling this, right? I'm feeling this because, or I can just ask myself the question, why am I feeling this way? What is it that's actually bothering me? Because it's not that event. It has triggered something else in me and I'm feeling worthless, valueless, not seen, not heard, right? All of these very deep, dark, heavy emotions. But if I can get them out and I can just say, oh, that is what I'm feeling. That is a tool that I can use. And it has been one that I continue, not every time, but one that I go to, especially at night. If I can't let go of something happened earlier in the day and it is eating on me throughout the day, I'm going to sit up in my bed and I'm just going to journal. I'm going to get it all out. And then, wow, okay, that's a good tool. Mm-hmm. So what are some things that you guys deploy, right? When that umbrella opens, what are the tools that are under that umbrella that you can go to use?
I stick to the community. I stick to you guys, the community. I reach out to my support community, my support pillars, because when I need to lean on people, that's exactly my go-to. Because, you know, I've never kind of been a journaling person, so I know just writing on a page isn't going to work, like, because I need feedback. So when I'm going through those types of situations, having some, you know, somebody to bounce that stuff off of and kind of get the responses back helps a lot for me. So, I mean, that's my number one go-to. It's like, I'll reach out to Sarah, and if Sarah's not here, then I go directly for you guys or who, you know, other people, my trusted squad in the community that I can just be like, hey, listen, like, shit's going downhill. I need somebody to pump the brakes for me, because this is, I can't reach them, and it's getting out of hand. So that's kind of why, to me, it's been a very integral part of me being able to snap a long streak of making horrible decisions when bad things happen to me, is because now I've got, you know, I can deploy the chutes when I need to. So.
Yeah. I bounced through a couple of those, honestly. Like, I think I do both of those things. Sometime I still do. I have my gratitude journal that I still use, because for me, if something goes wrong, I tend to spiral into thinking like, well, my life sucks. And like, I just get into a very negative headspace. And so if I feel like, man, today I was really negative, like if I'm sitting at the end of the day and I'm like, man, I was really negative today, I'll pull out that gratitude journal and I'll make sure that I can find a couple things from the day that, you know, were not so bad and, you know, end up turning my headspace around. But I also do turn to, you know, our community a ton. I'm so thankful for this community. I honestly don't think I would be as successful without all of the connections that I've made. And then I think my last one is literally, I just take myself outside. I go for a walk. I go sit outside. I don't write. I don't read. I literally will just go and sit and take my dog, and we'll either go for a walk or we'll sit outside and I'll just, you know, maybe put on some music and just kind of reflect and kind of work through those feelings that I might, kind of like journaling with you, April. When I'm outside, I feel like I can breathe better. And I feel like I can process things in a more healthy way. And so I'm so excited that it's spring. I know we're heading into April and it's going to be a little rainy, but you know, I love that it's almost that time where I can go and sit outside and just enjoy, you know, the birds and Hooper and just kind of like process my emotions as I'm in this wide open space. I think people kind of forget in our time with COVID and everything that like you can go outside, you can be outside and you can enjoy being outdoors. You don't have to be around a bunch of people. You can just take yourself, go sit outside, bring your water, bring your tea, whatever it is that you love to enjoy, and just like sit and think and process. And like, there are a lot of times where I'm sitting outside and I'm crying. Just by myself, I'll just let myself cry. So yeah, just, I don't know, giving yourself that time and the space. I think going outside and just giving yourself, like, I literally will tell myself, you have the space to share your emotions. Like, you are outside. There is abundant space. Just let it flow. And that really helps me.
Oh, what a great connection. But that is so true, right? Sometimes when we're in our workspace or we're in our home or we're somewhere, that space can feel very confined. Like we don't have the room to let it out. Oh yeah. But when you're outside, yeah, all of a sudden the space becomes vast. And then maybe you do feel like, okay, I do have the space too.
Yeah. Like maybe my little tiny apartment does not have the space for the emotions that I'm feeling. And I can tell, like I can feel, the confinement, but as soon as I step outside, I'll tell myself, you have the space. This is the world. Like you are outside. Just let it go, let it out, whatever you want to do. And that connection has really helped me in allowing myself to process my emotions, which I never really did before. I think in my bigger body, I also felt very confined.
Oh, that's a really good point. Well, again, that's why like the thing that we say all the time, space and grace, is so powerful.
Yeah.
Sometimes we need to find the space mm-hmm. to give ourselves some grace, right? And that's okay, right? Seeking out those new places to like you said, to kind of let it all out. That's mm-hmm. powerful. Mm-hmm. Well, and I was just sitting here, you guys, I mean, literally, I was just taking notes on like all of the ways, all of the things that we're doing, all of these tools that we're deploying, right? When things go wrong, you know, and the other thing that I was thinking too, is like, you know, sometimes when these obstacles come our way, right, there's the plan and then there's what happens. And just acknowledging that, oh, okay, that did not go the way that I thought that it would go. And mm-hmm. I tend to get really angry about that, right? Because I'm very much a planner, like this, it's going to happen this way. And when it doesn't, oh my God, right? And for me, a tool that I have really deployed is that I've acknowledged where I'm using that all or nothing mindset, that all or nothing thinking, right? It's like when one thing goes wrong, oh, the whole thing, right? Baby with the bathwater, the whole meal's out because there's too much salt, whatever it is, right? But I can't do that because that's not going to get me to my destination. That's not going to help me reach my goal. In fact, that sets me back further than where I was before. So taking a moment to acknowledge, okay, things did not go well. And just a tool that I've used is kind of what you said, Nat. I'm allowed to be mad. It's okay to be angry. It's okay to be upset and disappointed. I can sit with that feeling and just feel it and then move on when time has passed for me to acknowledge it. Like that is a tool. Feeling mm-hmm. our feels is a tool.
Yeah.
Didn't know that before surgery.
Well, we never did it before surgery because it wasn't even an option in our brains that like, you know, feeling your, like, I go to therapy. That's another tool that I use. Mm-hmm. And something I've learned is that, you know, just because you're feeling a negative feeling does not mean that you are a bad person or does not mean that you did something bad. You're feeling a feeling and those feelings are there for a reason. You know, if we weren't supposed to have feelings then we wouldn't have them. And we need to process them. And I was not doing that before. I, like we said earlier, like we would just use food, numb out. It doesn't mean, it honestly didn't matter if it was a happy feeling, a sad feeling, an angry feeling. I just didn't have feelings.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yep.
Well, a lot of people equate things that happen to them as to their worth. And they have a hard time processing that. And that's the biggest thing you have to understand. You are not the things that happen to you.
Yeah.
You are better than that. You know, bad people take advantage of good people all the time. That's why they say things like givers need to set limits because takers have none. I mean, that's legitimately the thing. And that's we spend so much of our life being people pleasers and doing things that we want to do to make sure people like us and that we're accepted and we're all these things, that we'll just shoulder so many burdens that aren't ours to carry. And that's where we really have to realize that processing these feelings, we're always afraid of what's going to happen. Like at the end of the day, you just realize that a lot of stuff that happened to you wasn't your fault. And that's a huge weight to be lifted off of your shoulders. It's almost like you lose the same amount of weight you lost, you know, post-op again. Mm-hmm. When you get all this stuff off of your chest and your shoulders that you didn't need to be carrying in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Oh my God. Truth. Right. That's one of the biggest tools that I think I continue to go back to, right. Is all of a sudden when I feel really heavy, when I feel like I'm carrying a lot of like emotional or just like all of a sudden I just feel like, how do I feel so heavy? Why is this? I need to take a minute and process and go, wait a minute. Is this actually my bag? Did somebody literally hand me their trash and I decided to pick it up and carry it with me? Oh my God, no, take back your bag. This ain't mine. That's yours. Why the hell am I carrying this?
Mm-hmm.
And that can be so hard because as a people pleaser, like I want to help, I want to fix, I want to, but oh my God, that's actually weighting me down.
Mm-hmm.
Take back your shit.
And also people think that like you're saying, like, things happen to them specifically. It's like, no, things happen to the world. Like yes. Everyone has things that happen to them, whether it's a natural disaster or you lose your job, or like everyone has those things happen to them at some point in their life. Like, mm-hmm. I think we all need to get comfortable with the fact that like bad things happen, but it's not you. It's not happening to you. Mm-mm. It just happened.
Correct. You are experiencing it.
You're experiencing it, but it wasn't to you. It wasn't yes. like the world just said, oh, we're going to target Natalie today. Mm-hmm. It's just like, you are just experiencing some bad. And that's yes. like, it's nothing, like Jason said, it's nothing morally wrong with you. It's not about you.
No. And sometimes we can feel like our decisions maybe brought these things on us. Mm-hmm. And sometimes that is true. Sometimes we make some missteps, right? Like, oh, I'm going to choose to eat a bunch of things that don't align to my bariatric goals. There's going to be a price to pay for that. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. But then there are other things that just happen in life because that's life. Right. Okay. And understanding and acknowledging the difference between the two, because there are different tools that we can deploy, right? Like I was discovering this, oh my God, my weight was creeping up. It wasn't really going back down. I still don't feel good in some of my clothes, right? Like, ugh. Well, when I look back at what is causing that, oh, it's because I was eating garbage. I was eating things that did not align to my bariatric goals. I wasn't tracking anything. I was eating well beyond my capacity. I was eating things that just, I know don't serve me. So, okay, I have to acknowledge that. There's a tool, acknowledgement. This is actually me. I am causing this. And then a tool that I've been deploying is tracking my macros. Another tool that I'm deploying is learning about macros, right? Taking the time, taking a hot minute, right? There's a tool of mine. I'm going to take a hot minute and understand what a carbohydrate is. Yeah, it's taken a little bit of effort to learn it, but now that I've learned it, I can incorporate it into my tracking and I'm seeing the results on the scale, in my clothes, in my demeanor, right? In how I'm thinking about these choices, shifting my mindset. I used to tell myself, I hate tracking. And I have made the conscious decision. I am not telling that to myself anymore. That's another tool that I'm using. I'm flipping the script, because if I tell myself that I hate it, I'm going to hate it. And it has to be a tool that I use right now, not for the rest of my life, maybe, I don't know, but it has to be a tool that I use right now. So why am I saying these horrible things about a tool that I know that I need to use? So I'm not saying that anymore. I'm saying tracking is a tool that I need to use in the moment to understand the decisions that I'm making. Tracking is a tool instead of I hate tracking. Tracking is a tool. I'm going to use it. Oh my God, like just a huge shift there. That's a tool.
Well, in those mindsets, you know, the fact that you had the missteps doesn't make you a horrible person. The fact that you, you know, that the scale was creeping back up and the clothes didn't fit you the way they once did.
Yeah.
It did not completely just dash all of the progress that you've made. Mm-hmm. It just means that along the way, you took your eyes off the prize and just decided to kind of, we veered off a little bit. Not a big deal. Like, it, and this can go for 10, 15, 20, 30 pounds of regain. Like, none of the numbers don't matter. What matters is you still have your tool, which is your sleeve, your RNY, or whatever that may be, your bypass. Mm-hmm. Your tool is still there. Mm-hmm. You're just going to have to work a little harder to gain the data you need to bring yourself back into alignment to be able to lose the excess. You didn't fail at anything. It's not the end of the road. You're not just going to have to, this isn't a fad diet that you can just blow and just go back to eating pizza and cheeseburgers and go back to your, you know, to your own weight. Yeah. So you have to realize that you can fit, everything's fixable. So it's going to take work. It's going to take tracking. It's going to take compiling the data. It's not always going to be, you know, the sunny day and rainbows and gumdrops. However, it's attainable. So that's what you have to look at. Like, you know, like April said, the tools you need are there, because she hated tracking once upon a time, but you can't measure to cut something and say, I hate the tape measure. I don't want to use the tape measure. Well, guess what? You're going to have to do a lot of cutting to get the boards where you need them to be able to build what you're building.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to plug Bariatric Book Club for a minute, because our book this month is Everything is Figureoutable. And I've read it before. It's one of those books that I just have in my arsenal. It's another tool that I use all the time. But yeah, I mean, Jason said it perfectly well. Like, everything is figureoutable. Everything is fixable. And I think we put so much weight and value in our mistakes, but it's like, dang, like, that's how we were living before. And we got to be, I got to be 400 pounds. That's a heavy burden. Like, that's a heavy weight to bear. And I physically was putting it on myself. And instead of, you know, the tools that I have now is saying like, okay, I messed up. I ate, you know, I've gained a little bit of weight. Okay. How am I going to get back down? What are the things that I can do? And let's like switch this around, because it's not the end of the world. You're not the worst person on the planet. You're not, you know, we just put so much weight and value in those mistakes, and it's just not worth it.
No, no. Well, we have really embraced the saying, right? There is no such thing as a bad bariatric patient, right? Yeah. We're either living in compliance or we're living out of compliance. That's a very different and a much more truthful, that is the truth, right? We are not bad people. And right, we're not bad bariatric patients, right? We are humans. We're bariatric patients having human moments, right? And we're just trying to understand those human moments now with our bariatric lens, because we want to live life differently. We have a desire to do so. It's why we don't give up. That's why when we experience regain, even if we're years out from experience of regain, if we reconnect, if we plug back into the community, or if we are asking ourselves the question, how can I reverse this? How can I do something differently? You still have that hope, right? That hope is a tool that we can use on these days, right? When those rain showers come, when the squalls come in, there's hope that it's going to pass. And we are just continually seeking the path forward, right? We want to hold on until that rainbow shows up, until it moves past. And we truly can. It just takes a little effort, right? And it has everything to do with us acknowledging again, right? The rain is coming. Don't know when, but it's going to be there. So if I have my umbrella, if I have my tools at the ready, I'm going to be able to move through this. I'm going to get through it, right? I might get a little wet. That's fine. I'll dry. Right. But if I can deploy that umbrella, if I can use these tools, I'm going to stay a little bit drier. Right. And I'm going to be able to move through it. And really that's what this is all about. So just to recap, you guys, here's all of the tools that we mentioned in just this brief little conversation: journaling, reconnecting with the community, publicly asking for help, having truthful conversations with ourselves and with our community, gratitude journaling, or acknowledging, speaking gratitude. Is that true? Questioning, right? So asking ourselves, is that a really true statement? Movement, quiet mental space and time to think things through, getting outside, right? Taking a step back and say, okay, everything seems to be in chaos, but what's one thing that I can do that aligns to my bariatric goals, right? That's something we talk about all the time. What's the one thing that you can do? Can you take your vitamins? Awesome. Good job. Call it good at that one thing. Tracking, drafting these conversations that you want to have with yourself or others, right? Really thinking about, okay, what do I want to say? Or what am I experiencing? Crying, just getting our emotions out. That's a tool that we can use. Rerouting, right? So acknowledging, oh, that did not go to plan, or I did not end up at the destination that I thought I was going to do, right? Recalculating our plan, recalculating our route to where we want to go. Accessing and utilizing therapy and our therapist. Drop the bag, right? This is not my bag. This is giving it back. Flipping the script, right? Saying, nope, I'm not going to say that anymore. I'm not going to do that anymore. And then the acronym FAIL, right? The word FAIL should and does stand for first attempt in learning, right? Acknowledging that this is how we learn. This is how we grow. This is not a failure. This is not a setback. This is simply a learning opportunity. That's a lot. That's a lot of tools.
Yep.
Yeah.
you know, I want to share with everybody what I experienced last night. So Grady bought us tickets to the Van Gogh immersive experience, and it was amazing. It was really wonderful. But I was really moved in a lot of different ways, and it really helped reinforce the work that I've been doing and that I know we're all doing in our bariatric journey. Van Gogh's life was pretty bad, right? Like, I don't know a lot about him, but just knowing the little bit that I knew before this experience and then reading about his life, he failed at almost everything. He got kicked out of everything that he tried to do. He like got disavowed from the church because he was a horrible pastor, clergyman. Yeah, I mean, like, literally, you're reading this. He had mental health struggles that were monumental, especially for the time when he lived, right? Modern medicine wasn't a thing, right? He lopped off his own ear in a state of, you know, this mental health crisis, right? Died at a very young age, had minimal recognition for his artwork in his life, right? So you're just looking at this man's life and you're going, oh my God, it was one setback and disappointment and after another, just boom, 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 boom. And then he died. I was like, oh my God. So when you go into this experience, right, they take his paintings and they blow them up. So it was in the Tacoma Armory, this huge space, all of the walls are the screens, the floor becomes a screen. You are immersed in his paintings. And what I really realized as we were walking through this is that when you look at some of his paintings from afar, they look very chaotic, right? Like, things are kind of, you know, it's like an enigma. Like, is that really what I think it is? It's impressionist. It doesn't look the way that it really does in real life. Like, it just looks very like helter skelter kind of, right? But then they zoomed in on his painting. So an entire giant screen would just be this very little section. And in it, you could see every brushstroke. You could see the depth of the paint. You could see, you know, in the portraits that he painted, he would use 20, 30 colors in one eye that he was, you know, painting of somebody. And especially for one of his self-portraits, they really zoomed in on his eyes. And it was so fascinating because when I was really looking at that, I realized from afar, his paintings look a little bit chaotic. Like, there was no rhyme or reason to anything. But when you really zoom in, when you really get finite, very intimate with what he was doing, every brushstroke mattered. Every movement that he made on that canvas was intentional. Every color, every dot, every placement, every stroke he thought about. And it just struck me that we really do have to be that intentional if we want to create this masterpiece of our life. Every color choice, every movement, every dot, every placement of things has an opportunity for us to be intentional about it. And, you know, Van Gogh drew many sketches of some of his greatest works of art, like many iterations, sketch after sketch after sketch. So he didn't just boom, create this masterpiece. He really thought a lot about how he wanted to represent it and what it was going to look like, and draft after draft after draft before he got to a final version. So it kind of gave me this like, oh, I don't have to get it right at first. I can have many different drafts of this masterpiece. I can really sketch it out. I can try it. I can play with some things, and I can attempt a final version, but I can also be intentional every step of the way, because that intentionality is how I'm going to get to this masterpiece. And his masterpieces are not one color. It's not one brush width. It's not one brush technique or texture, right? Like, in some of these paintings, it was crazy. It was like, oh my God, the detail on that lamppost is like realism. Yet here's this moment of realism in this abstract impressionist, you know, painting. And it was just like, oh my God, like, so many things can be present in one version. I don't have to get so caught up on, I have to get it perfect this time or else it doesn't work, right? Or thinking that like all of this chaos is not a masterpiece. No, no, no. it really all comes together to create this masterpiece of our life. And intentionality, understanding that we can make multiple drafts before we kind of put the brush right to the canvas, so to speak. And then the other really powerful thing that I left with is he has so many versions of sunflower. He has so many versions of the irises that he painted. He has so many versions of portraits. Like, I don't have to stick with just one. Like, this can be the version. And then when I learn a different technique, or I have a different perspective, or I want to paint something in a different way, I can do it. Like, this fluidity of life was just so present on display at that exhibit. I was really blown away. And I think it's really, you know, granted, this just happened last night, but I just am, it's just amazing what came through in his paintings. And, you know, like Van Gogh and me, what? But that's the power of being aware and open to all of the things that we can learn across this journey, right? We don't have all the answers, and we don't have to be feeling this pressure to create our final draft, because it's our masterpiece. There's no timeline.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's the beautiful part of it. It's the same thing, like you say, with the recipes. It takes little pieces of everything. So, you know, before you try, you can try one way. If you don't like that way, you got to try another way. And it's the same way with the different alliterations of the paintings he painted before he did it. You know, you try to sketch it out. If it works, cool. If it doesn't, try again. Sketch it again.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. So to kind of wrap up our conversation, friends, maybe what's the one piece of advice that you would give to our friends about overcoming these obstacles and setbacks, right? About what to do when the rain comes?
Just know that it can be done. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's everything can be done. You can overcome it all. You have the tools to start with. You know, take that. Reach out to your community, build the toolbox that works for you. That's the most important part, is you have to have something in your arsenal that you know that you're going to repeatedly go to if needed, that will work for you. And it doesn't have to be, you know, you don't have to get it on the first try. You know, just like we've been talking about this whole episode, if you try to journal and that's not for you, awesome. Try to reach out to the community. If you have somebody and can build a little squad around you that you can reach out to and that works for you, awesome. If that doesn't work for you, you're going to need to move to try something else. I mean, there's always something out there that's going to work. You're not the one-off person in the whole world that just isn't going to be able to be helped. It's just that's not a thing. So just know that there's something out there for you. You just have to find out what it is. And don't be afraid to not get it right the first time. I mean, it's going to happen. That's fine. Like we said, that make you a horrible person. Just means we got to work a little deeper, but it's out there.
Ms. Nat?
I think mine is really just giving yourself space and grace. I mean, I know we say it a lot, but that really is for me what it boils down to. You know, give yourself the space, remove yourself from the environment of which you're feeling that emotion, and give yourself grace to like go through that emotion, to figure it out, and to be kind to yourself. And like Jason said, you know, you're not going to figure it out in that moment, but you can start the process in that moment by removing yourself, giving yourself space, and feeling your emotions. If you feel like you need to cry, then you should cry. Like, that's something that I never did before surgery. I never cried. And now it's like, I can't turn it off, but it feels good. Like, it feels good after to just like feel that emotion, cry, whatever. Like, if you have to punch your pillow, like do it. And then like collect yourself and move forward and tell yourself that you're going to figure it out and that it is figure outable.
Yep. Yeah. And I think mine would really be, you know, you're going to get caught in the rain. It's just going to happen. There's going to be times where you're just going to get thrown off guard. You're going to miss the weather report and you're going to get stuck in a rain shower. And just know that it's just rain, right? You can duck undercover. You can carry your umbrella with you. You can be as prepared as you possibly can be. And there's still going to be that moment that you're going to get caught in the rain. That's okay. It's okay. It's just a moment for you to continue to grow and move through it. And, you know, hopefully, especially this month, we really want to guide our friends and our followers through this process, right? Like, anticipate the rain, like check the weather forecast, you know, have your umbrella, have those tools ready to go. But if you do get caught in the rain, it's okay. Don't panic. And maybe we can even learn to have a little fun in the rain too, right? Because the whole point of this journey is that we find that happiness, we find that contentment, we create the life that we always wanted to create for ourselves. And it's going to require that we get a little wet every now and then. It's no big deal. No big deal. Well, we hope you found this conversation interesting, and that maybe you're feeling not so scared about being caught in the rain, right? Or that maybe you're just acknowledging that the rain's going to come no matter what. We can't stop it. All we can do is learn to be prepared for it, to forecast a little bit, and then to deploy our tools that feel best for us in the moment. We got a little housekeeping to do. Miss Nat, you want to share our favorite day of the week with people?
Of course. Today is actually, as we are recording, our favorite day of the week, which is Sunday. Every single Sunday, we get to shout out you, our community, whatever, you know, amazing things you have done in your weight loss journey, whether you're pre-op, post-op, thinking about surgery, does not matter. It's just a day for us to share your story and share what makes you unique and wonderful. We love it because we get to know more and more of you every single week. I feel like every single time I write up these and edit these stories, I just feel so empowered and so inspired. So it's a really fun way for us to get to know you, and also our community to get to know you. All you have to do is go to the link in our bio. You'll fill out a quick Google form with just information about you, things that you've overcome, some trials maybe, and how you've overcome it. You'll upload a photo of yourself. It does not have to be a before and after. It's literally just a picture of you that you're very proud of. And then I go in, I upload them, and every Sunday we get to shout you out. So another thing to know is that you do not have to be a paid member of Berry Nation, the community. You literally, it's just for our Instagram and podcast community. So we hope that you'll do that and share your story, because we really do love it.
It is one of our most favorite things to do in the community, is shout out its own members. And if you're looking for a little extra layer of support, if you would like to find a support group that is targeted to an area that you are struggling in, or if you just want to meet some new people, if you just want a safe place, an extra safe place to hang out, we very much encourage you to become a member of the Berry Nation membership community. Just head to our website, berrynation.com, to learn more about it. And you have 14 days to try out the community before you commit to a membership, because we know that this type of support might not be right for you, but we want to give you enough time to really kind of explore and dive in. So highly recommend that you give that a check out. All right, Jason, my friend, want to take us out?
Yes, ma'am. Just want to thank everybody for the likes, the shares, the subscriptions, the support, the everything you've done to help us get to where we are today, because the help you provide us, just, you know, it helps us just as much as we help you guys. So we appreciate that so much. And don't forget that you can continue to leave us ratings and reviews on your favorite podcast players, as well as YouTube. You can also leave us voice messages on the Anchor app when you're listening to the podcast there, so that we can add them into future episodes of the podcast. And that's just another way that we get to shout you guys out, which we love mm-hmm. doing as well. Mm-hmm. And it helps you guys become kind of part of the, you know, part of the situation. So we love that as well. So, and at the end of the day, just, you know, remember that you've got this, we've got you, and we'll see you next time.
Awesome. Thanks, friends.
Bye-bye.